Just to let you know that we have a take it or leave it table out here. And that is for the needs. If you need tomatoes, if you need beets, if you need cereal, there's lots of stuff out there. But here's an extended version of that. If you know someone who needs tomatoes or beets or cereal, take it to them. What a concept. Well, recently, I had a couple meetings this week, one with Sweet Home leadership, one Sweet Home leadership, and also with our new life group. And what I've noticed is that people are hungry to talk. They are hungry. They desire to have connection with one another. And in those meetings that we had, a couple different meetings, it was like we didn't get to the agenda of our meetings till 45 minutes later because people are hungry for connection. And so this morning, you know, we've gone through some difficulties. We've had a COVID pandemic. We've had riots. We've had fires. We've had evacuations. We've had isolation. And people say, let's just wait till 2021 and things are going to get better. But in the midst of these difficulties, we need to be reminded how much we need each other. We all need people to encourage us, and they need us to encourage them. And so some of us, we've probably all felt different levels of this struggle of this year, 2020, and yet we are all kind of in this struggle together, and we need each other to help each other to get through this. And together, when we are together, the title this morning is We Are Stronger Together. Let me pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your word, that it holds. It is true, and it holds water, and it does not come back void. And we pray that your word would become real and practical in our lives. We ask that you would help us to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ecclesiastes is one of the wisdom books in the Bible. And Solomon wrote this book, or at least somebody wrote it for him. And it's power-packed verses of kind of meaningless stuff. I mean, he talks about everything in life is meaningless. And things, it's kind of hard to read because it's like, okay, so what's your point, Solomon, until you get to the end? Solomon also wrote a book called Proverbs. You know that book, and that's a little easier to read. They're power-packed with wisdom. But Solomon talks about this emptiness of life. Everything he talks about he had everything in life. He had had wealth. He had had all the friends he could have, and all the power and just everything you could ever think of. He had everything, and he says in that writing, in that book, everything is meaningless. And he goes through the empty pursuits of life, but at the end, when you go through and you get all the way to the very end of that book, you hear his point. And his point is this, that trusting God is the only solution. That trusting God is the only thing that fulfills and that gives you what you need. And so Solomon, he comes and he writes this passage that you probably recognize, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And if you want, you can look on your bulletin. I put it in there today. And Solomon is talking about companionship. He's talking about the needs that we have of one another. And he says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor, just like we were yesterday. We were working out here together, and that beam out here was very heavy, and it took many people to keep it steady on top of a machine to get it up. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity is the one who falls and no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It is hard to break. And when you look at a rope, and I gave you each a rope today to look at, you can even touch it. It's just like, you know, grade school where you get to have textiles, right? You get to touch your rope. But when you look at a rope, it consists of many strands weaved together. Some ropes are just three, but this has many strands stranded together. And this is probably not a rope that you could climb with, but it does say that it would hold 600 pounds. So that would be something of strength. And so by themselves, they don't hold as much weight. But if they are woven together, they are stronger. So here's some yarn, and even in yarn, you have it. It's woven together, but it's definitely not as strong, right? So my question to you today is, if you went water skiing, which would you use to pull you behind the boat? Would you choose the yarn and hope that it would hold you? Or would you choose something like this that's weaved together and stronger because it's weaved together? How about this? If you were climbing one of those rock surfaces at Yosemite National Park, would you? And it's 100 feet, let's say, and you climb up there, would you use yarn or would you use rope with some really hard clips that would hold you? And so I would think that you would choose the rope. The rope would be a lifesaver. And so in the old days, you know, people used rope. They used rope to tie up their things to keep away from wild animals. And I think they still do that today. That would help them survive because food was, that's how they would keep their food up in the air and in on rope. Rope would be used to pull and hoist heavy objects, which you would need to do to build structures and homes and even the pyramids, right? You need rope to do that. In those days, in the old days, it might mean you could move or carry something. It might mean that you could cross a river with a rope and safely get across, or a chasm to cross over, kind of like Indiana Jones, right? Well, no, he used a whip, right? And went across the chasm, right? But he didn't use yarn either, so he used something strong. And so rope in the old days was used for life. It wasn't just something for enjoyment, but we use it today for both, right? We use rope to get us to work with things, to get us to carry things, to help us. And so rope, twisting it together, multiple strands and fibers together make it stronger. It's not one strand alone. And so weaving it together in multiple ways gives it strength and a more powerful rope. And so we are much the same. We are like rope, people, God's church. We are stronger as we are woven together, as we come together, as we sharpen each other, encourage each other, spur each other on. When we come together, we are stronger in multiple levels. And I want to give you three. Three today that make us stronger. Number one is that we are stronger in Christ. Now, I don't know how weary you are today. I don't know how much this year has put a weight or a burden on your shoulders. In fact, my shoulders are a little stiff this morning. But in Christ, we are stronger. When we talk about strength, we need to remember that Christ, Jesus, is our strength. He is the source of our strength. We know the Apostle Paul understood this well. In Philippians 4:13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, when I was in my 20s, I learned this verse. It's a simple verse you could learn yourself. But the leader that was mentoring me told me, "Put your name in that verse. I, Matt, can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, Paul was talking in this situation about contentment and circumstances. That he was saying that he was content in living with plenty and he was content in living with want. But he was also, if you look at the bigger picture, he was specifically talking about contentment, but the bigger picture is that Paul realized that his reliance and his sufficiency came from Christ. That he is stronger. He was stronger because of Jesus. And he understood the truth that Jesus taught his disciples. Jesus taught his disciples many things, but in John 15, he talks about this vine and these branches and the fruit. And he says, Jesus says in John 15, 1 through 5, "I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus says again, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now you think about a vine, you think about a vineyard. Jesus used everyday life, and they were probably walking, him and his disciples were probably walking beside a vineyard at the time he started to talk to them about this vine and these branches. Jesus was brilliant. He and still is, right? He saw the grapevines. He saw how they interweaved on the trellises. He saw the spreading out of the wide leafy branches, and then the grapes, the plump grapes that came from that. Just the other day, we got these grapes that were like from the promised land, and they were so plump you could be a chipmunk by putting them in your mouth. I mean, it was just huge, right? They were full of nutrients and life because obviously the vine and the branches had nutrients. And so The vine is the main stalk of the plant. And its vine, it's planted and it's in the soil and it needs water, it needs nutrients, and the sun gives it life. And so all these needs are transferred, all these characteristics, all these things, these nutrients are transferred from the vine to the branches, from the branches to the fruit. And so, in other words, the vine influences everything about the grape. The vine is the life source of the branches and the fruit. You do not have to be a farmer to understand that if you cut off the branches from the vine, sooner or later, very quickly perhaps, they will die. They will shrivel up. The grapes will die. There will not be life to it. And they will be disconnected and lost and starved of life. And so this is why Jesus reminds his disciples to remain in him. Because he is the vine. He is the source. He is the strength that you need and I need in this life through this year. And so Jesus is that source. And so even when we are weak and weary and discouraged and sad and depressed, whatever you have going on in your life, he is that strength for us. So number two, that brings us to number two. Scripture says that in our weakness, we are strong. And that's kind of a paradox. It's kind of a weird thought. But again, Paul understood this concept in a certain way because he had something in his life that he prayed three different times, Lord, take this away. And God did not take it away at the time. And he was struggling through that, but he realized that he could learn a vital lesson through this struggle. And so in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, he says this, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, God said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He doesn't say, oh, sure, I'll take it away from you right now. Boom. And sometimes God does that. But what does he say? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? In weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so Jesus has given his life for us. He has given his all for us so that we can have a new life. So we can have transformed life. And that is why Jesus is the source. Because he is holy, he is God, he is perfect, and he was the only one that could do that for us. And so, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried in your life to change things? Have you ever tried and tried and tried and tried to make things better in this world? How about in your own life? I think the more we try and we want to have that change, we want to improve, we want to find satisfaction, we want to be strong. We want to overcome our problems, and it just doesn't seem to work. And Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. He says, all is meaningless without God. So what he's saying is everything is meaningful and purposeful and worthwhile with God. Amen? And so Paul discovered we can't shake that ongoing flaw or struggle on our own, but Jesus says, I've got this. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. I will live in you. You are weak, he is strong. I am weak, he is strong. And in our weakness, he shines his strength. He shines his glory. And so, getting back to the rope analogy, is rope proves itself under stress. You hook it to a harness to pick something up, and you think that it will hold. I mean, you think it'll hold the weight, but it won't necessarily prove itself until the weight is on it, until you're using it to pull it up, and it works. The stretching of it is what helps it prove itself. Just the same thing as when you're climbing, and not that I've ever done this, but when you're climbing and if you fell and you had a rope that was supposed to protect you or keep you from falling any further, the tension, the proof of it holding you is when it is used. And so, when it comes to our weaknesses, it's like Jesus is the proof that when we are weak, when we're just hanging on, he's the strength like the rope is in our life. When we are weak, it's no doubt that Christ is our strength and he carries us through. And so my hope is that we as believers remember that Christ is our strength. We are stronger with him in our lives. And we have to realize that we can't continue doing it on our own, in our own strength. That we have to actually humble ourselves and say, you know what, I've come to the end of my rope. That was not really intended, but it came about that way. Pun not intended. And so, when we think of that, Jesus is our strength, we need to be weak, and he is strong. And we come to the third point, and that is, together, we are stronger together. Now, you can go to and have Jesus in your life, and he gives you strength. And so that, in that regard, you are strong. But even when we are together, we are even stronger as the body of Christ. Romans 12, 4 through 6 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Interesting. We belong to each other. "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If, for instance, if you have a gift in prophecy, then prophesy according to your faith." And so we humans are made to be together. We are created in the image of God, and which the image of God, if you think about the Trinity, the image of God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one, they are in community, they are together. And so just like that, we need each other. We are stronger when we can lean on each other. That's the way the early church worked. I mean, they were these people were risking their lives to follow Jesus. They were trying to live like him. They took care of each other in every way. They pulled together to make sure their needs were met. They used their skills and abilities and resources to accomplish the work that Jesus had given them of spreading his love and the gospel, the good news to the rest of the world. And so for the early church, Jesus was their strength and their life. And even though they were kind of this ragtag collection of people, all different, maybe even weak, powerless individuals in a mighty and oppressive Roman Empire, But what happened was this ragtag of individuals changed the world because of Jesus, because of relying on Jesus as their strength, and because they came together in Christ, and because they knew that they needed each other, and they worked, they came together as one. And so it's easy to dismiss the Christian, the way that the church was in the old days. Oh, that's just history. That, you know, we can't be like that. In fact, one of the things that I think probably hinders us a little bit in our Western world is that we live in an individualism culture. And so we have to actually think differently, like Jesus talks about. And then we need to remember that we are together in this. A lot of cultures, and I'm not saying anything bad about the songs we sing, great songs today, but some other cultures would put the word "we" in that song, because we as a culture serve Christ together. And I think that's what Jesus would want. I believe that that's what he would want. I mean, think about the individual culture that we live in. You've watched Westerns, right? Old Westerns. You know that what do you think of when you think of old Westerns? You think of John Wayne, right? You think of the Lone Ranger or Clint Eastwood, right? These are lone people who, I got to do this on my own. I can do this. I'm the superhero of the story. And so that individualism is what Jesus is talking, saying, don't live like that. In fact, some of the movies today, they start out with the Lone Ranger mentality. Let's just say Avengers, the movie. They all have these super egos. They're all like, I'm going to save the world, me, by myself. And then by the end of the movie, they all realize that they can't do it on their own. And they need the whole team to do the job, to conquer, to be a team. And so I'll give you another analogy. We all know that wolves go in packs. They actually have all different things that they do. They have different roles. Each one plays a part in the pack. They hunt and eat together. They mark their territory together. They look out for each other. They know that what's good for the pack is good for each individual animal. And so the alpha wolf will actually make sure the pups get fed first before the rest of them. Now, there are some lone wolves, but there is an exception. I mean, there's about 15% of wolves get out alone, but typically they're either sick or they're driven out of the pack because food is scarce. But sometimes a young wolf will actually venture out alone, but its goal is to start another pack. That sounds like life groups or starting churches, planting churches. But living as a loner isn't a healthy long-term situation, lifestyle. It's dangerous. In fact, a lone wolf in this situation of wolves must spend much of his time and energy trying to avoid other pack territories. And so it's dangerous out there to be alone. In the same way, humans are like wolves. From the moment we're born, we need human interaction. And in fact, scientists have gone over this and studied this, that infants need the touch and the voice of their mother. And that's why they hire people or have people in the NICU or whatever to be there for the baby when the mother cannot be with the baby. And so scientists have figured this out. And so there's also research that human touch in orphanages is a result. The result of that is depression and maybe even infant mortality. And so failure to thrive and development delays comes when you don't have that human interaction or that human touch. And we all know that this is a concern right now for our culture, for our society, that the pandemic, the isolation, hinders us from having that connection with one another. And so as humans, my point is, as humans, we belong together. We need each other. In fact, you know this, social media is the technology of our day, and billions and billions and billions of people are on there, on social media, for the reason that I'm talking about today, and that is to connect, to have connection with other human beings. And so connection and relationship aren't just a desire for us, they are a need. We are hardwired to have that. God has created that in us. And so as our God calls us to have relationships, to have a relationship with Him, and also calls us to have a relationship and community with each other, His work on earth is relational, and He has chosen us to fulfill His mission. And so, like Jesus' original disciples on earth, He has sent us out into the world to represent and introduce Him to others through what? Relationship. Through loving relationships. And so, as we join together and find our place in the body of Christ, that is where we find our true identity. That is where we experience acceptance and belonging. You know, it might even feel like you're coming home, where you can truly let down your hair and shake off the fear and not worry about what anybody thinks, because you belong, because you are accepted. And just a side note here, when I first came to know Christ, I was pretty insecure. I was pretty defensive. However I acted or responded was out of that lack of knowing who I am in Christ, knowing who I am in the body of Christ. And today, I can say that God has changed that. I can stand up in front of you and know that I'm loved by God and I'm loved by you. And I don't really have as much fear or anxiety as I used to. That's pretty cool. And so, when we come to Christ, when we realize that He's our strength, He's our only strength, and then when we humble ourselves and say we are weak, when we are weak, when we give up, when we get at the end of the rope and we say, I need to just hang on to you. You are my strength. God is our strength. And then the third one is we are stronger together. And so the family of God, every family, if you think about it, has their weird, you know, weirdness, their dysfunctions. But despite best intentions, we hurt each other. We bicker, we disagree, or we wrong each other. But it's my hope, and I believe it's God's hope too, that we live like Jesus. We receive grace, and we give grace. That we treat each other with humility, that we apologize and we seek forgiveness when we have wronged each other, that we ultimately love and serve each other and do that to the world around us. And so when we come together like that, we experience the power of God's Spirit in us. When we come together like that, we are so much stronger together. It was a beautiful thing yesterday. It was like this rope. We had a mission, and that was to clean the church and get it ready inside and out for what God wants to do this next season of life here at Hillside Fellowship. And everybody was working together, the same mission. We all weaved together. We were stronger because we were doing it together. And so we've been living through some trying times. And I can honestly tell you that this is not the time to be a Lone Ranger. This is, if whether you are a believer, a follower of Jesus, or not, we need each other. And so, my prayer is that we will continue to pursue God together and realize that that is a strength that we need. Perhaps you can join a group that will help you, like a life group or a worship team or a Christian or a children's ministry team. And in that, in those groups, you will grow in Christ. And in those groups, you will find strength. And you will be able to continue on being a follower of Jesus and being able to do what He has called you to do. And so I want to pray this morning that God would fill us up, because we are weak. We are weary, and we are burdened, and yet we can trust the Lord in this time. So let's do that. Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your word that we were able to look at this morning, and I thank You that You are our strength in Christ, through Christ, with Christ. And Lord, I thank You that each and every one of these believers, these people that are here today that are wanting to follow You, I pray that we would do this together. Lord, that You would help us to sharpen each other in a good way, to spur each other on. Father, that we would conquer the world in Jesus' name. For Your kingdom, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go out from us, that we would love others the way You have loved us. Thank You for the reminder that we need to rely on You and that we need to have each other in our lives so that we can be stronger. We ask this in Jesus' name, and the church says,